At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers play the Rams in 2 days, and be honest, you don't really know the first thing about LA. That's why I got Jake Ellenbogen on the show today on 49ers Rams cross-examination. Good morning. Welcome to the 49ers Rams cross-examination. I'm Grant Cohn. That is legendary Rams content creator Jake Ellenbogen. Jake, thank you very much for coming on the show today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Grant. And thank you so much for the intro. You know how to make a good one there. Legendary. It's, damn.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. The Rams are an interesting team because they're champions. And yet their fan base is, it's in St. Louis, it's in upstate New York, is it in LA? I'm not really sure. This weekend is going to be a lot of Niners fans, but that doesn't mean that the Niners are going to win. And that doesn't mean that really, the Rams are kind of a dark horse. Rough start to the year, 0-2. I think a lot of Niner fans think they're just going to roll over and die this week and be 0-3. So let me ask you this, what is their biggest strength right now? We all know they have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, right now it's tough, but I got to say their biggest strength, I mean, I think a lot of people are expecting this, it's Matthew Stafford and the combination between him and Sean McVay. I mean, that player coach, quarterback coach combination, I don't have to tell you how important that is. Obviously, Bill Walsh and, you know, Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, Steve Young, whatever. Having that combination there goes a long way. And it's a big reason why they have a Super Bowl. It's a big reason why they were able to beat Tom Brady despite him coming back from 27-3 down in the divisional rounds. Big reason why they beat the 49ers down 10 in the fourth quarter. It's because of those two guys. Now, other players, this is a 53-man roster, and I believe 47 are active on game day. So, look, I mean, I totally understand other players come down to it, but when you have a really good quarterback, then you can actually win games that you're not supposed to win.
What is the nature of the relationship between Stafford and McVay? Kyle over here usually has a quarterback that he can, for lack of a better word, dominate. Brock's sort of that way. I mean, even though Brock's good, it's like we keep don't do too much. We make it simple on you, and if you make a mistake, that's on. I mean, he can be very negative. What is the relationship between McVay and Stafford like?
Great question. You know, really, Grant, it's like this. It's two pros, right? They're two guys that are top of the line, high-end guys. Obviously, McVay has loved Stafford from afar, and Stafford has had a lot of respect for McVay from afar. McVay knew, regardless if it was, you know, the comfortable decision, because keep in mind, a lot of coaches, GMs will make what's comfortable for them. They don't want to step into the waters of giving up on a, you know, quarterback they drafted number one overall, trading him away and going after a guy who you could argue was damaged goods, right? Because, you know, going into that season when the Rams traded for him, Stafford, you know, he was all banged up. He's been banged up in Detroit. So I think really it is a professionalism between the two. They're also friends. They're always on the same page. I think a lot of it has really come down to the fact that Stafford has evolved McVay, and McVay has given Stafford something that he hasn't had since Jim Caldwell. And with all due respect to Jim Caldwell, who I think is an underrated head coach, he's not Sean McVay. So I think that's really kind of been the beauty of it. Those two came together, won a Super Bowl year one. They've obviously been, you know, struggling to get back to that point, but injuries in 2022 on a grand scale. Then you look at 2023, just, okay, they're not supposed to be that good. People have them not even finishing in, you know, the top 10 of the league. And, you know, they end up winning 10 games and they end up being the hottest team at the end of the year. And, you know, I just think really it's become kind of this whole thing where it's not just a parasitic relationship, and that's not at all what I'm saying Kyle and Brock are, but there are some coaches and quarterbacks that have that. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford is one that they have both gotten better because of being around each other, and that is a great thing.
Did you see Rodgers and Saleh last night? Did you see that look?
Now that.
Like, here's the thing.
You'll never see that with those
what Rodgers said, like, it's too early. I'm actually on board with that. I think Saleh needs to relax with that one. But the look that he gave him, like, that says everything you need to know about their relationship. Anyway, that's a tangent. What is the Rams' biggest weakness right now? They're 0-2, and they just got mollywopped by the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's interesting because I would have said offensive line, but they're going to have their two tackles for the first time all year, right? Their two starting tackles. They are down, guys, in middle of the offensive line. But I am not too worried about the offensive line. I'm more worried about, and obviously a lot of this came down to the fact the game was out of reach. It's a snowball effect, and I get that. But they are leading the league, Grant, in missed tackles now. Obviously, two games, I get it, small sample size, looked good against the Lions. And then the Cardinal game kind of changed everything, right? Well, I think that is the biggest weakness. And the reason I think that is because not only are they struggling to tackle, you know, guys like Kyler Murray and, you know, all that, and James Conner, but Jordan Mason, if I'm not mistaken, I was told on another show, Jordan Mason leads the league in broken tackles for running backs.
That he runs really hard. He's very hard to tackle.
He is a freight train, and yeah. I've been a fan of him for a while, so I'm glad he's finally getting his opportunity. And for all those people that said that, oh, they're doomed without Christian McCaffrey, I don't want to say they're not going to miss a beat without him because he is the best running back in football, but Jordan Mason's not, you know, he's not a slouch. I mean, I think by the end of this year, you could make the argument, and we'll see, but you could probably make the argument that Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey are among the top 15, top 10 running backs in this league. I mean, I think that's kind of where we're trending. So we'll see what ends up happening with Jordan Mason. We'll see how long he gets a chance. But going back to your point, yeah, the biggest weakness to me is that defense, tackling. I thought the linebackers that a lot of people look at and like, I don't even know who these guys are. I thought they played really well. You know, Troy Reader and Christian Roseboom, I thought they played really well in week one. Then week two happens. Right after I give him praise, Grant, you probably know how this goes. I gave him praise, did a video, all 22 and everything. The next game, that didn't even look like the same two linebackers I watched on tape. So that to me, the true weakness of the Rams right now, their defense is unproven. It's that simple.
How much of that blowout last week was the Rams being a decimated mess right now? And how much was it the Cardinals being maybe better than people realize?
I think it was more so the Cardinals being better than people realize. I don't think the Rams took them seriously. I really don't.
Because they did well against the Lions week one. Like, that's a contender. Like, Goff didn't play well in that game. The Lions ran the ball well, but like it seemed like the Rams were in the game.
So I saw some of your live stream, Four Man Front, and you brought up that the whole idea with, like, apparently there were some guys in the locker room that were kind of like, oh, it's Sam Darnold, we're going to beat up on him. Grant, I feel like that was kind of that same energy, you know?
Wow.
This is, I'm being honest with you. In the McVay era, okay, they've won 13 of the last 15 against the Cardinals. They had not lost to the Cardinals in Arizona since 2014.
Wow.
So I think that was a bunch of built-up frustration. I think the fan base was part of that. I think the Cardinals were really feeling it. And let's be honest here. If the Cardinals go to Buffalo and they finish that game off and they win that game, I think this past weekend's completely different. You had a pissed-off team that went to Western New York and put up a damn fight. Yeah. And now you have people saying, I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad. That was, that was a good performance, though. But, you know, no moral victories, which I disagree with to an extent. That was a really good loss, just like the Rams lost to the Lions. But then it's like they had the exact opposite effect. The Rams should have come in pissed off that they lost to the Lions in a game they dominated the entire second half in front of a national stage. But they didn't. They came in looking like that team that you saw in overtime, the exhausted defense. And the Cardinals came in like everyone hates us. Everyone, no one buys into us. We're going to kick the crap out of this team. And that's what they did.
Okay. So the Rams, I mean, the Rams aren't doing a whole lot well right now. We know they're missing, I want to say, five starters on offense. And I think most Niner fans are looking at this like, man, the Rams would be lucky to score 6 points, score any touchdowns. So I know you're not in their meetings, but like, how can you envision them like trying to move the ball without Kupp and Nacua? Like, what does this offense look like now? Is it a run heavy offense? Is there a wide receiver that we don't know about who's going to be an X factor? How do you see this going down?
Yeah, Grant, great question. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. These are games that get me excited just from a football perspective, just being a fan, knowing these players, doing a lot of draft scouting. I don't know if you're into the draft realm as well, but if you are, I mean, like, you know, you're saying, yeah, I mean, these are the type of guys, these are the type of games you get a chance to see these guys that you're like, you know, mocking to your teams. And then you get a chance to see them in week three of the NFL season. Like, maybe this isn't the most ideal scenario and you didn't want to see him at this point, but nonetheless, you have to see them. And Jordan Whittington is a guy, Grant, that on, you know, I do the NFC West roundtable every Tuesday night. And I said, when we were doing the mock drafts at the beginning of the year, I said, Jordan Whittington, I had him going to the Rams. And I said, this guy is the only guy in the entire draft that gives me the Puka Nacua vibe that could come out of nowhere and could make a huge impact if given that opportunity. This is a former five-star recruit. He went to Texas. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but because he was behind Adonai Mitchell, he was behind Worthy, he was behind Jatavion Sanders, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Brooks, you name it, right? But everything I kept hearing was, this guy's going to get his chance in the NFL. And we've seen these guys before. We've seen these guys before in college that are like, you know, they didn't quite get going the way maybe they thought, but that's going to be a really good pro. That is Jordan Whittington. Can block. He's a running back with the ball in his hands. He can move. And he was one of the more impressive wide receivers in preseason. So I look at Jordan Whittington, Grant, and I say, look, Tyler Johnson got on the radar. Fantasy football fans went to pick him up after week one because he had the 63-yard play. If you take away the 63-yard play against the Lions, he didn't really do that much, right? Then you have DeMarcus Robinson. Robinson played well down the stretch last year. I think he could have 40 yards in this game. Maybe he could have more. But I'm looking at Jordan Whittington as really kind of the X factor in this game because he's the guy that there's really not a lot of tape on. So you're going to get hit with a freight train if he ends up being something, kind of like Jordan Mason. And then I look at Tutu Atwell, Grant, and I look at last year, week two, and he had over 70 yards receiving. He flexed on him. You know, he got up and he put up his muscles and everything. This is a guy who's 5'9", probably a 150 soaking wet. And he has not really been utilized, but he didn't play any preseason. They sat him out entirely. There's a role for him. So when I look at this game, they're going to have to try and run the football with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. But that's what everyone's saying. That's what all of the media pundits are saying. That is what ESPN, all that's going to say.
Right.
What I'm telling you. And you know
the
right
Niners
now,
are going to put eight in the box. Like, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So you might not be able to run the football.
Exactly. Exactly.
So to just assume, run the football, you win the game. It's not that easy. No. That's what they tell you on the networks, but that it's not that easy.
No.
So you soften up the defense, you attack deep down the field. You give them something. Once you put that out there, because they have not really put that out there on tape this year because they haven't had the offensive line to do it. So if they can get a big shot to Tutu Atwell, whether it connects or not, now you have to defend that.
Yeah.
So that changes everything.
And I guarantee Niner fans have no idea who Jordan Whittington is. I didn't even know who he is. I'm looking at him. He didn't run at the combine. He went to the Texas Pro Day. 6'5", 202, runs a 4.47, 6'8", 3-cone, 4.12, 20-yard shuttle, 36 vert. So, like, he's a hell of an athlete.
Oh,
yeah. And, I can see what you're saying. So, he's a sleeper.
Absolutely. He's a sleeper. Look out for him, number 88.
Okay. The other thing you're saying is that, like, although the Rams' offense has been kind of abysmal so far to start the season, they're getting their tackles back for the first time. So, this could look a little different. They might be able to run the ball in this game. They might be able to.
It's the first week where Stafford, and I'm not saying Alec Jackson coming off suspension, not being around the team and everything, he's not going to struggle, right? But it should be the first week where Stafford doesn't have constant blindside pressure. Stafford can make something out of nothing, but I don't care what quarterback you have. If you have constant blindside pressure, you had predominantly most of the first game, is practice squad tackle AJ Arcuri. Mm. Most of it. I think he gave up 7 pressures.
Okay.
And then this week, it's, Dennis Gardeck. Do you even know who that is?
I have no idea.
Gardeck on the Cardinals had 3 sacks last week.
Okay. Okay.
He roasted Warren
McClain. So it's like the B team. It was the Rams JV team, and it still is to an degree. But look, the Niners just lost to Sam Darnold and a team missing Jordan Addison, and Justin Jefferson went down in the third quarter, and they were still moving the ball. And the thing about it is, Nick Bosa had 2 sacks, but the pass rush really wasn't there consistently, and that's why the Vikings felt confident to call a slow-developing play-action pass from their end zone, which they freaking hit when you saw the play. But anyway, if Stafford has some time, there are some weapons, could be a game. Again, if you're just tuning in, you're watching the cross-examination. I just made that up. Powered by BetUS. Because if people say behind enemy lines, it's like, yeah, but this is kind of like a court cross-examination. I need to know about the Rams. And I have a question now. What is wrong with their defense? Like, the offense has all the excuses. The defense, okay, they're missing Darius Williams. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. And John Johnson. 2 really good DBs. Otherwise, this was supposed to be their defense, and they really can't stop the run or tackle. So is this the first-year defensive coordinator? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, to that extent that we saw against the Cardinals, that was surprising. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. That was surprising. Mm-hmm. What I was encouraged by when I watched the film was that they were still getting a lot of pressure on Kyler. Mm-hmm. And they might not even be aware of this, but the Rams, and I don't think anybody in the comment section knows this ahead of time, the Rams are out-pressuring the 49ers in the first 2 weeks.
I believe it.
27-23.
Because the Niners' pass rush is a problem right now. It's an issue.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But when you call like this, you know, when it comes to the Rams, rookie defensive coordinator, I think, comes into play. What I said going into this season, Grant, was this team, I think, can win the Super Bowl. And if they're healthy, I still think that. If they're this the whole year, no one's winning a Super Bowl that way.
Right.
But truthfully, I felt this team could win the Super Bowl. And the reason I felt that was because I thought this offense, healthy, would be a top 3 offense. And I thought the defense would be top 16. And that's all they have to be. Because if you look back when they won the Super Bowl, they were top 16. So they just need to be top 16. And the thought I had was week 1 against the Lions, going into that game, I'm like, I think we're going to see some encouraging things, but I think it's going to be a struggling defense. That offense is a really good barometer for where you are. And they did a really nice job. They got tired at the end of the game. I mean, Chris Collins was brought up multiple times. Week 1, you're not meant to play in the overtime. Mm. And that's just what happened. Now week 2 happens, and it's like, that's not even the same defense I watched week 1. Mm-hmm. Were there a ton of injuries? No. So it is confusing, but I'll chalk it up to this. And this is why I think it is ultimately. Mm. I think it is the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys of a rookie defensive coordinator. Mm. Because I think what we saw from guys like Wade Phillips, Brandon Staley, and Raheem Morris is at the half, a game like that, they'd be able to be like, not all the time. You do have those games that you just can't come back from. But the adjustments at the half, I did not see any adjustments from Chris Shula. Now, I really like Chris Shula, and I don't believe he got the job because of nepotism or anything like that. I think he genuinely is a good mind. And the thing that is awesome about Shula is that he was there with Wade Phillips, Brandon Staley, and Raheem Morris. Mm. Those are 3 really good defensive coordinators. You can pick and choose what you want to do with, right? So that was the thing. But Grant, I think week 2 on a larger scale, I don't think we see that the rest of the year, truthfully. But on a larger scale, it was more of that up and down rookie defensive coordinator, and kind of the players followed suit. And that's what I think it was.
You know, it's interesting. The Niners have a rookie defensive coordinator too, Nick Sorensen.
Yeah.
And last week, like, we're looking at this like, man, the Rams got embarrassed last week. But the Niners very nearly got embarrassed. If you watch that game, Fred Warner forced a fumble like at the goal line. It was one of the most incredible forced fumbles you'll ever see. And if he doesn't make that play, that they realistically could have lost, what, 30-17, and all of
that's
a sudden
what I watched.
Yeah. So all of a sudden people are talking about the Niners in a whole different way, much more like they're talking about the Rams right now. So that's very interesting. And the Niners do have their own rookie coordinator who has a lot to prove this week against Sean McVay, who sort of developed Kevin O'Connell, who just worked Nick Sorensen. So now that we've discussed all that, predict a winner. Who do you think will win this game and why? How do you see it playing out? High scoring, low scoring? What do you think?
I'm going to tell you right now, I think the 49ers are going to win this game 20-17. This is objective. I would love to see the Rams win. I think the Rams can win, and I absolutely see a pathway for them to win. But there's a lot of injuries, and it comes to a point where what we saw in that first game, juice is flowing. It's week one. That's great. But eventually these injuries do become a little too much. And while Stafford is incredible, no doubt about it, Stafford has made things happen before with nobodies, and I'm not calling these guys nobodies, but not having Cooper Kupp, not having Puka Nacua, like I said it when they lost Puka Nacua last week, I said this, Grant, when they lost him, at least they have Cooper Kupp. They have to have one or the other. They can't have none because those guys create opportunities for everyone else. When Cooper Kupp is getting double teamed, now you have another guy that's not even going to have anybody covering him, the coverage bus, right? When Cooper Kupp is used in the run game, he is an outstanding blocker. Luckily, as you know, same thing with Kyle Shanahan, you cannot play wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay if you cannot block. Even Tutu Atwell, people just assume he's 5'9", 150. He can't block. He absolutely can. He was top 15 according to PFF. So he can block. DeMarcus Robinson can block. Tyler Johnson, Jordan Whittington, they can all block. What I'm curious to see is they have been obsessed with going with this 11 personnel grouping. And they have not been able to run the football, Grant, at all. Right. Not against the Lions.
Are they doing it because their tight ends are hurt?
I mean, maybe, but maybe. I also think they're just kind of stubborn. if you ask me, I think just Sean McVay seemed like
they were
evolving
personnel for a while when they had Ben Skowronek in the backfield. But again, I don't.
That was cool. I liked that. Yeah. Now I don't even know where he is. I don't even think he's on the Texans anymore.
Yeah.
But no, I liked that. And you know, I'll bring up something on that because a lot of people don't understand what you just said. Going back to 2022 is when they first started using him as like kind of a fullback. Do you know where they got that from? Reggie Gilliam. Because they went up against the Bills in week one and Gilliam destroyed them. And so they're like, we are going to have our own Reggie Gilliam. And I love that. That's why I love going back, watching the tape, seeing what they picked up on. I know that's Sean McVay. He'll literally admit in a presser, be like, yeah, I just was watching Thursday Night Football while I was doing, you know, game planning. And I saw Andy Reid call out this play to Kareem Hunt. It was this post over the middle. And he did that same thing with Todd Gurley in week four against the Dallas Cowboys in 2017. So that is what we're talking about when it comes to Sean McVay. Not afraid to evolve. I know I just called him stubborn about the 11 personnel, but he's not Chip Kelly. You don't have to fit into his system. He tries to do different things. What I will always point out, because it seems like no one ever does, when it comes to Sean McVay, though, is much like he feels he's in control. It seems like at one point every year, Grant, he has to use 12, 13 personnel. He has to go ground and pound. It's bizarre because you're sitting there with Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and all these guys. And now you're going ground and pound like it's 80s football. But there comes a point almost every single year that Sean McVay has been the head coach, they've had to do that in some capacity. Is that adjustments by other defenses? Maybe. I don't know for sure. But I'll tell you right now, this game, this is important. And they cannot come out flat like they did last week.
I just want to say, like, Sean, if you're watching, this might, like, I'm not trying to help you beat the Niners. I mean, I'm not, you have to pay me to bring me in as quality control, but I'm just saying, like, you might want to try going a little heavier with your personnel this week because, yeah, Fred Warner's great, but Dre Greenlaw's out, and the Niners' other linebackers are liabilities. Devondre Campbell, this could be his last year in the league. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles has been a longtime special teamer for the 49ers. You want those guys on the field. But then again, Tre'Davious Ward might not even play this week. And there's going to be opportunities. I think 2017, that's very interesting. Let's check out what BetUS has to say about this upcoming game. It seems the Niners are 6.5-point favorites on the road. I doubt the Rams are getting the 3 points that a home team customarily gets, because that stadium's going to be mostly filled with Niner fans, which is a really interesting quirk, and I think probably evidence that the Rams should have maybe stayed in St. Louis. And oof. I just want to say, I miss going to St. Louis. I like traveling around the country during the football season, and St. Louis was a cool little Midwest town on the Mississippi River. And LA, I like living in LA, but you like, it's hard to move around that damn town. Anyway, 6.5 points. You would take the Rams and the points there.
Yeah, now I would. You know, before I had a 10-point win, and then all this stuff happens, Grant. We find out about Kittle, and I don't know. I thought about it more, and I'm like, the 49ers are a little banged up. I wasn't overly impressed with Brock Purdy's game against the Vikings, even though I think he had better stats than he did the first game. That's the first game he played better. But I wasn't overly impressed with Brock Purdy. And no Deebo Samuel, I think, is the real thing there, because Brock Purdy has not looked amazing without Deebo Samuel.
I mean, and he hasn't looked amazing without Christian McCaffrey. So that's an interesting one. I kind of want to take the under as well. You can take the Rams, you take both of these, make the picks.
You're going to sweat out the under, Grant, really?
Absolutely. I mean, you said 2017. I like it too. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, who's scoring touchdowns in this game? It's Jordan usually Whittington. For the Niners, it's Christian and Deebo. Those are the guys who score touchdowns. Maybe Jordan Mason will score three, but the Niners, I mean, he's never done that before. Ayuk and Kittle generally don't score a lot of touchdowns. It's not like who Kyle leans on in those situations. So I could see a low-scoring game.
I definitely see a low-scoring game. The Rams are averaging 15 points in the first two games.
Not to mention, what? $2. All right, fine, whatever. I'm making the wager. It seems like the trend around the league anyway has been field goals over touchdowns early in the season anyway. So under,
yeah.
I feel good about it. Let me place the wager. There it is. Hold on. Go to BetUS and receive 150% bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,000 with code YouTube250. Boom, there you go. So now you can ask me questions about the Niners.
Yeah.
See what we got.
I got some good ones, I think.
Okay.
All right. Because I know you're tapped in, so I'm going to take advantage.
I'm in Levi Stadium.
I know.
Right now.
I see you in Levi Stadium.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Dedication. you're the man. All right, let's do it. Brock Purdy, right?
Yes.
So I've been a surprising defender of Brock Purdy. And people are like, why? You're a Rams fan. Well, I'm a football fan too. And I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, is he Matthew Stafford? No. But he's a good quarterback. So I have more of an objective view on him, not really a biased view. With Deebo out, though, Brock has thrown 1.2 picks per game over the course of 5 games.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
5 games without him, he's almost thrown a pick every single game, right? Mm-hmm. He's thrown a pick, so 37% of his picks have come without Deebo in his career.
Yeah.
Do you see him turning the ball over in this game? Because I think that is one of the only chances that the Rams have of winning this game.
Well, it's interesting. Like, he turned it over twice last week. There was an interception and a fumble that looked like an interception. The ball literally slipped out of his hands. It was human.
That was bizarre.
And so I think the way the Niners talk to him behind closed doors is like, dude, we're not asking you to do a lot. The expectation is to not turn the ball over. So there's a lot of pressure on him to be more of a game manager in this game. And there's not a lot of pressure on him to take chances because the Niners are expected to win this game. That being said, no Deebo, no McCaffrey, no easy completions, no extended handoffs. If you want to throw the ball, it's throw it down the field, 5, 10, 15 yards, 20 yards to Ayuk, Kittle. Maybe not even Kittle. Ayuk, Juwan Jennings. Like, it seems that he's going to have to take chances. He's like you said, he's thrown a lot of picks when Deebo hasn't been out there. I don't know, man. I mean, he's faced the Rams a lot. Let's give him that. He's faced the Rams a lot. He's done pretty well against the Rams. He should know what to expect. But without his guys out there, like, Ayuk's going to have a great game. Is he ready for that? I don't know. And this is what we need to see with Brock, because he's in the conversation of making $60 million a year next year. And if he gets that contract, eventually Debo, Kittle, and Christian will have to go because they'll be older and expensive. So this is sort of a peek into the future. What if you just have Brandon Ayuk, who you're spending a ton of money on, and Juwan Jennings, who you extended, and Kyle Juszczyk, who you call an offensive weapon, and Jordan Mason, who's one of the leading rushers in the league. If you only have all of that, what does it look like? And so far, it's looked kind of mid. If we're being honest, he hasn't been dominant since the Ravens embarrassed him on Christmas. He's had one multi-touchdown game since then. He's been pretty modest since. And if you remember going to that game, people were talking like, this is the MVP of the league. This is his coronation. He bombed so hard that Lamar Jackson won the award just because he was on the field that day, honestly. And I don't really think he's really recovered and regained that dominant. He would have games where he would throw 3 incompletions, 4 touchdowns, and have a 150 quarterback rating. He hasn't had a day like that in a while.
That is very interesting. And I also want to bring up, Brock Purdy's only played the Rams once.
Wow. Why did I think he's played them like 8 times?
Because that type of quarterback has played the Rams 8 times to some capacity.
It's true. It was week 2 last year.
Yeah, he didn't even throw a touchdown.
Wow.
He ran for a touchdown on 4th down at the goal line to end the half, which was...
And he missed some significant downfield throws, like 3 of them.
Yeah, so it was 17... It was 17-10, and the 49ers tied it up at halftime with the Brock Purdy touchdown run at the 1 yard.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Now, the second question here. Do you see this 49ers team without McCaffrey, without Debo, saying, screw it, we're going to run more than 30 times with Jordan Mason against this defense with the most missed tackles? The reason I say that, I've seen Kyle Shanahan run the ball 35 times against this team. We saw it. It was Monday Night Football, I think, or Thursday night, one of those. Kyle has gone run heavy against this team. This is now Ernest Jones-less, Aaron Donald-less defense. So I almost wonder if they're going to be chomping at the bit for that. And the reason I bring that up is because I don't look at Jordan Mason as he's just trash, throw him away. But Kyle could honestly look at Jordan Mason like, I'm going to use this guy till the wheels fall off, and I got Christian McCaffrey. So I'm curious how you see it going. Do you think we could see a 30 times carry type of day for Jordan Mason?
Here's the thing. Yes, that feels like the easiest path to victory for the 49ers, but we don't know when Christian's coming back. I don't think the Niners know when Christian's coming back. I don't think Christian knows when Christian's coming back. It's a serious injury, and there's a lot of mystery there. So for now, they sort of have to operate under the pretense that is Jordan Mason, and there's no Christian. And if Jordan Mason were to go down, sprain an ankle, miss a month, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, they're in big freaking trouble because they don't have another running back on the roster they trust. They traded up for this rookie, Isaac Garendo, because he ran a 4.3, and they gave him one carry last week, and he missed the hole, and they benched him. So would they like to run 38 times? Like, they did week 1, but it might be tough without a backup running back. It might be tough without a quarterback who really is a threat, a real threat. And also, we've seen with Kyle, if a defensive coach will sell out to stop the run, put 8 in the box, put 6 on the line of scrimmage, he'll just abandon all of his offensive philosophies, preferences, and just go to a shotgun drop back passing game because he thinks that's the correct counter. So you can get him out of his bread and butter just with freaking by alignment. And the Vikings did that last week. Now that's how the Vikings play defense anyway, 6 on the line, presenting pressure, then backing out or disguising where it's coming from. But Chiefs did it in the Super Bowl too. All of a sudden you see the Niners in like shotgun 5 wide. It's like, what the hell is this? Where is the under center motion? Oh, Kyle decided it wasn't going to work this week. Oh, great. Well then good luck with this.
Yeah, no, that's to your point, I didn't think about it like that. I thought like Christian McCaffrey would be coming back soon. Sounds like they have no idea. So then, yeah, I don't know if they would go that route, because I know they would probably go that route with Debo if he was healthy. They'd probably have Debo run like 7-10 times.
But like to your point, the Rams, what is the strength of the Rams right now? One of the few strengths of the Rams is their pass rush.
Yeah.
And Brock just went down 6 times last week. And he doesn't have his check down option or his screen option. And so when they throw the ball, it's going to be a lot of like 5-step drop, 7-step drop, 10, 15 yards down the field. Like, yeah, you want to mix that in, but it seems like you want a steady diet of running the freaking ball against a team that gave up how many yards on the ground last week? Like 240 something?
Yeah, it was disgusting. Yeah,
disgusting.
Awful. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then the next one. You're tapped in. You're literally at Levi's Stadium right now.
Literally.
Literally in.
In.
You are in Levi's Stadium.
Yeah.
You are in it. Okay. So with check that said.
Check it out.
That's really cool.
Wait. There it is. Never mind. We're here.
We never left. I'm honestly, so that looks like a sports book.
this is like one of the lounges on the bottom, like literally around the corner. There is the 50-yard line. It would be cool to actually take my laptop out and give a whole tour, but I think they might tase me if I did that. So I'm just going to keep it chill. I've been sanctioned to be in this one spot. But it's a cool little spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely cool. Yeah. You got like a bar looking thing in the back. So
yeah, definitely a bar. Yeah. I get the feeling if you spend a bunch of money to get a ticket, like on the first level near 50 yard, like comes with some access to this. It's like a little perk, but I don't know. I'm not, I'm just a regular middle-class guy from Oakland.
I love it. I love it. So, with that angle, you're totally tapped in. Do you get a sense talking with these guys, just being around them in the locker room and whatnot, do you get a sense that they could potentially let last week beat them twice? And I guess that's really what the Rams are trying to avoid with the 41-10 blowout. You don't want that to beat you again next week. But with the 49ers, to your point, as you brought up earlier, that was like 3 plays away from being a blowout on the other side of things. Mm-hmm. And there was also 3 plays away from the 49ers winning the game. So It was a wacky game. It really was. But where are you on that instance? Do you think just the feeling, does it feel like it's the rivalry game that, or do you think that maybe with the injuries, they might even overlook the Rams this week?
It's hard. It's hard to say they'd overlook a team when they're having a bunch of injuries too. It kind of like, I don't really know. It just feels like the Niners are at a very precarious, both the Niners and the Rams. But the Niners in particular, like they're supposed to be winning the Super Bowl this year. And they've had a very slow start to the season. I don't know. It just kind of feels like vets are tapping out early on. Like, hey, I'm hurt. I don't need to be part of this. And now you got a bunch of guys who have something to prove going to LA. But it's not the Niner team. I mean, it's not. Fred Warner is playing out of his mind. Nick Bosa is not. He's really not. Tre'Davious Ward could be out. Kittle could be out. That could just be precautionary. Like, I don't even know what's going on with that. It doesn't feel like a team that's putting their best foot forward. It doesn't at all. Whether they're like pacing themselves or trying to get healthy for down the line, or they want to see what Brock Purdy can do without some of these vets, or they're just really injured. It doesn't seem like a team that's about to dominate. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Now, I'll throw this one your way. Not a question. But BetUS, you should bring this up. I want to see if this is on there, right?
Sure.
I'm a big fan of the revenge angle when it comes to betting. Uh-huh. Cam Akers against the Vikings. I think this week he's going to go off.
Okay.
But Leonard Floyd was cut like he was nothing by the Rams.
It's true.
I think he's going to get a sack in this game. I think he might have multiple sacks in this game. When the 49ers added Leonard Floyd, whether people disagree or not, Bosa's a closer. Bosa can win you a game. Game's over. Bosa gets a sack, whatever. He can get that. Leonard Floyd's also a closer in my mind. I think you got two closers that you're talking about with the 49ers. And that, like, adding him, obviously, he went there because Brandon Staley was there. They're very close. But I'm not exactly hyped to go up against Leonard Floyd. I'm not. I think he's underrated. And I think he can't be the number one guy, when he's playing off of Bosa, he's playing off of Von Miller, he's playing off AD in the middle. I've seen it. He can really pop off. He can have games that he just explodes. He had like a 3-sack game for the Rams. I think one of his first games of his, you know, Rams career. So
here's the thing though. The Rams know him as well as anyone.
That's true.
And with the Rams, he played 3-4 outside linebacker. Whoa. On the Niners, he's a 4-3 defensive end. And at least against the Vikings, like the Vikings ran at him easily with their backup running back, Ty Chandler. So if he's on the field, I think again, to me, the only chance the Rams have to win this game is if they rush for 150 yards and Blake Corum's really good and Kyron Williams is really good. And the Niners run defense is just as vulnerable as the Rams run defense from what I've seen. Maybe not just as vulnerable, but it's vulnerable and it's been vulnerable going back to last year. They're giving up 5 yards a carry.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I like that.
Ty Chandler went off last week. Like it was easy for that guy.
Yeah. Well, I think also that I guess that kind of bodes well for the Rams because you're not going to run sideline to sideline when you got Fred Warner flying all over the field, right? You're just not.
No.
But you run it up the gap. And especially like the Rams with more of this, you know, inside running scheme, like their gap scheme, running duo. And now that they're, I don't want to say fully healthy, but they're as healthy as they can be right now. Maybe they go that route because Kyron is really good at stopping, starting, you know, great vision, can make plays in between the guards, in between the tackles. I mean, he's really just, he can work all over the place. They have not been able to get him going. Blake Corum finally got carries at the end in garbage time. So that's definitely interesting. Now,
it'll be interesting to see if they run at Leonard Floyd. They know him as well as anyone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's literally cut out to play 4-3 D end all three downs. So
I like him more as a stand up 3-4.
Yeah.
Also will point out with the Rams, he was one of the best run defenders. At edge, period.
For sure. Okay.
So I don't know how that looks now being in a 4-3. Totally don't know how that looks, but definitely one of the X factors, I think, for the 49ers. And that's such an overused term. I mean, I'm looking at Hufanga, and I remember the last time, the last game in week two, I think it was. Hufanga had a pick, I think it was. I think that's how the game ended.
Sure.
Maybe that was a different game. I don't know. I've lost count how many games the Rams have lost where they've been in it, and then they've, you know, shot out of it. But so now, no Aaron Donald. Do you trust this 49ers offensive line versus the Rams defensive front with Verse, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk, and Bobby Brown? They've outpressured the 49ers the first two games. I think they have a pretty decent defensive front. But what say you? Because I'll say right now, from my perspective, Trent Williams is very, very good. And I mean, he's the best tackle in football. He might not be 100% Trent Williams right now, getting up there in age, did not have any preparation, just kind of, you know, went right into it. And then you have my guy, Dominic Pooney out of Kansas, and he's great, but I don't really like any of the other guys. Banks is solid. I don't dislike Banks. Brendel's terrible. I'm just going to be honest. Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. That's one of the worst all 22 tapes that you could watch at center.
Yeah.
And then you have McKivitz, who gave up like 7 pressures the other day. And I'm not a big fan of him either.
No.
So on them?
That's it. Like Brendel's terrible. McKivitz isn't good. And we've seen with the Niners, like if you can put a 5-man front or a 6-man front and get Brendel in a position where he has to block someone one-on-one, he's a big time liability. Most defenses don't do that. And he can sort of help out with someone or get help and not be one-on-one, but you can expose him. You can expose Colton McKivitz. And it does seem like if you bring pressure, that's the best way to beat the 49ers. Like they want to run the ball and do a bunch of motion and do play action. And if you start presenting pressure on the line pre-snap, they'll back down. They'll all of a sudden go to a different part of their playbook and try to counter that. And you don't even have to bring the pressure. Just show it pre-snap. So what's interesting about it, maybe that's not what the Rams are accustomed to doing, but they're desperate. They're 0-2. Got a bunch of backups. You just saw the Vikings do it. That coach was on your system. I'm sure McVay and O'Connell are talking this week. Like, that's your guy. So you saw that it worked. I'm sure McVay's a good coach. You said he's the kind of guy who watches Thursday Night Football and adds, like, it's there. The blueprint is there. The Rams may not have the talent to pull it off this week, but the Vikings aren't the most talented team in the league. The difference is that stadium in Minnesota is so freaking loud.
Oh,
so freaking loud.
State of the art too.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Nothing against SoFi, but like, it's open air, but there's a roof, which is kind of strange. Like, why is there a roof in LA? But if you put a roof, shouldn't you like close it down so you can make it loud? But there's no point because you don't have fans. No offense.
Didn't offend me in the slightest. I still have not been
in LA. So you don't have fans is what I'm trying to say. There are Rams fans for sure.
Oh yeah. There's plenty in New York, actually. Plenty in New York.
Strange.
You'd be surprised. But
yeah.
The last thing I'll ask you here, because I talked about Jordan Whittington, right? Mm. I'm curious if, and I'm just going to give you the guy. Not even going to ask you who. I'm going to give you the guy. Big fan of him coming out of Arizona, Jacob Cowan. Was always wide open on tape. Always.
The guy.
And we follow the draft. So we talked about this. So you probably saw Jacob Cowan always open. Always open. Separation ability is there. I always bring up guys like Treylon Burks and that guy that I can't remember his name, and there's a reason why I can't. The guy the Patriots took over, DK Metcalf.
It was N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could not separate.
No.
Separation's a big deal. This guy can. I could see him in a gadget role, but we saw in the first game, right? Now, obviously, Arizona, their number one receiver is Marvin Harrison Jr., whether they tell us that it isn't or not. I don't care. It is, and that's what happened. First game, though, really encouraging. They hold Amon-Ra St. Brown to 3 catches, 13 yards. Mm-hmm. Really encouraging. But they gave up over 100 yards, 120 yards to Jameson Williams.
It's a deep threat.
So is this the Jacob Cowan game? I guess that's what I'm asking you.
Well, don't sleep on Juwan Jennings because he's been like really consistently good since the playoffs last year.
Juwan and
like,
Jennings.
Frankly, I think he might be better than Brandon Ayuk right now, just in the sense that Brandon Ayuk's not fully like Brandon Ayuk yet. So this could be a big Juwan Jennings game, but I love that you brought up Jacob Cowan because it should be a Jacob Cowan game. If when they go to 3 wide receivers, which they don't do as much as the Rams, he'll be the third guy. He should be the third guy. Kyle hates rookies. I think he's like, he hates them. And he might play Chris Conley, which would be too bad. But if Cowan gets out there, yes, he could be the gadget guy that they lose when Debo's out. And it seems like, they're different, but it seems like the Niners offense is reliant on that role. He can, like, what is that role? It's a guy who can win deep, intermediate, short, and behind the line of scrimmage. You can throw him the ball on screens. You can give him the ball on jet sweeps and end arounds, like the full schmear. He can do that. And in preseason, he was their most explosive wide receiver. Jordan Mason was their MVP, but after him, Cowan played 2 games, and I think he caught all but 1 target, scored a touchdown. He looked really good. He had a 19-yard run as well. Like you mentioned, Tutu Atwell, this guy could be the Niners version of that and maybe even better. I like him a lot. And they spent their first-round pick on Ricky Pearsall, who got shot in the chest, which is crazy, and I hope he's okay. And that's, not his freaking fault, but the Cowan guy might be, the real difference maker at the position for the Niners that they drafted this year. Who knows? Like, this guy looks like he could be, he's got explosion of a guy who wouldn't be a 4th round pick.
Yeah, I love Juwan Jennings. So I know exactly he's really good. I got a good tip from him when I was at the Senior Bowl. My friend Lance, who covers a bunch of sports in Mobile, and he was telling me all about this Juwan Jennings kid. And I was like, he's not going to run the fastest 40 time. He's not going to do anything that lights up anything, right? But this guy can play. And it's not just he passes the eye test. Like, he's going to go out there and he's going to stick his face in the fan and he is going to block like his life depends on it. And he's going to get open and he's going to move the chains. And you bet your ass I put some money on him in the Super Bowl. And I don't know if you're a golfer, Grant, but every time I putt on the green, I think about that putter was paid for by Juwan Jennings. Because I bet he'd go over, I think it was 70. I did an alt line of like 70 yards, and he went over that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
Well, look, if you go back and look at the Super Bowl, which was 3 games ago for the 49ers, biggest game of so many players' lives, Trent Williams, 2 penalties, didn't play up to his pedigree.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey fumbled and averaged 3.5 yards a carry. I think Kittle had 2 catches and didn't recover the fumble, which was right next to him because he was saying hi George Karlaftis. Brandon Ayuk like didn't do anything. Debo Samuel had like 3 catches on 11 targets. Like, it was just all the most important players didn't show up. Purdy was like kind of mid, but Juwan Jennings threw a touchdown pass, caught a touchdown pass. It was like, who the hell is this guy? He was freaking ready for the moment. Very interesting. And I think he's kind of picked up where he left off. He's never in a position where he gets more than 4 or 5 targets in a game because of everyone here. But this week he is. And he absolutely deserves 10 targets this week. And if he were on the Rams, he'd be getting the ball like freaking crazy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'd like to see if he can do that this week.
I mean, so you've had like the 49ers. The 49ers have had 2 wide receivers that I look at that would have been perfect fits on the Rams. Juwan Jennings, I'll say that, number one. And obviously, Ayuk and Debo would work on the Rams too. But the other guy is Kendrick Bourne. Those are 2 guys that are very underrated. I'd put them in the same list as Jacoby Myers and all that. But these, they're underrated receivers that they're underrated because they're not divas, right? They don't make a big deal about anything. They just go. They do their job. They block. They work within the confines of a system. They get open. Great separation skills. They're not the fastest. They're not even the strongest. They just, they're very good. You know, work ethic is on point. And these are guys that are
in the slot. They're good in those tight formations.
Yeah. It gives you many different looks. And then again, the Super Bowl. That's why I bet on him to win Super Bowl MVP. I might have had it if they won.
Brock Purdy loves the guy. He's 6'3". He's a good route runner.
Yeah.
He's tough. Like, who wouldn't want to throw to that guy over the middle? No, exactly. Let me throw to the 5'11 guy who's kind of shies away from contact. No. Juwan, 3rd and 7. Run the dig, run the out. And what's so tough about him, they'll put him in the slot. And it seems like he has a 2-way go. He'll run 8 yards and he can go in or out based on the leverage. Yeah. And all he needs is a freaking this much separation. It's like, well, he's 6'3 and he can catch the ball away from his frame and then he can break a tackle. Like, nice player. Nice player.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Catching the ball away from his frame and also not shying away from contact and knowing he's going to take a big hit. He's the guy over the middle. He's in the big, you know, he's a big slot.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid. I've seen him multiple times. He'll get the ball and he's got no time to brace for contact and gets crushed and never drops the ball. And those are the type of guys, they make their money doing that. They're aware that it's a thankless job because they're not getting, you know, they're not winning any fantasy leagues or whatever, but look, these are good players. They're all over the NFL. Juwan Jennings happens to be one of them.
Definitely. The Camper Report says it's nice to see Jake finally make it on your show, Grant. Great collab.
Appreciate that.
Shout out to Borna for linking us up.
Yes. Love
Borna. Shout out to Borna. Ethan says, is Kyren going to get bottled up for fantasy? I wouldn't. Dude, the Niners don't have a great run defense. They haven't since D'Amico left. And the Rams are getting their tackles back.
I didn't think the Cardinals did either, but then again, the flow of the game, are you really going to run it when it got away from you like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys getting your offensive tackles back might help. Ethan M says Kubiak should call plays. Kyle does the same stuff. Young Clay. The Niners had Clint Kubiak last year. Now he's on the Saints. The Saints are scoring touchdowns.
I see him on the Saints, man. Derek Carr actually looks like fixed. I'm like, what?
It, like the Saints, wait a second. The Saints have the best offense in the league, like with Rashid. Like, what, huh? What are you talking about?
I know.
It seems scheme related. Dazza says, would be nice if Hargrave steps up at some point this season. Yeah, the Niners gave Javon Hargrave a lot of money thinking he was like Aaron Donald or something, and so far he's not.
I love that. That's a great way
so far.
Maybe I like week. Him, but yeah, I get that.
Yeah, $21 million a year. Slide 23 says, and he wears Debo's old number 19. That's Cowan.
He does.
He sure does.
Debo wears one.
Jake, thank you very much. I am so much more informed about the Rams after an hour ago. You were very good, very engaging, and you're a handsome guy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Grant. I'm glad we're able to do this. I can't even tell you how many people on my channel, which is predominantly Rams, I can't even tell you how many people are a fan of yours. Like, they're big fans of yours, and
That's because I talk crap about the Niners.
Well, but here's the deal, though. You might talk crap about the Niners, but at the same time, you're unbiased.
Well, thank you.
You know, you do a great job. I think you're a good dude just based on like what I've heard about, you know, people that I've talked to that know you have said good things about you. And I'm kind of jealous, man. The 49ers creator space is full of some awesome people, man. So, you know, it's cool. I got to collab with you. I got to collab with Jesse and I got to collab with Rob. So,
Nice. When did you collab with them?
Jesse was 3 days ago, I think. 2 days ago.
I don't know. You beat me to the punch.
We do the NFC West roundtable together.
Oh!
Yeah. Every Tuesday night. Yep.
Damn. Well, Jesse's my guy. Love Jesse. So
Jesse is one of the best people. And then, and then Rob and I actually just did the show yesterday, actually.
Fucking Rob. Taking my ideas. Well, that's great, man. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for watching, everyone. Practice is in an hour and a half. We'll see if Kittle and Traverius Ward are out there. And Bosa.
I'll text you. I want to know.
All right, everyone. Thanks, Jake.
All right, later.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.